The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Would you like to support Radio Labyrinth? It's very simple. Just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. For as little as $1 a month, you can help me keep money in my pocket, which means I can put gas in my shitty car, drive to the studio, and then edit the podcast. Again, patreon.com/TimAndrews. Thanks.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
You don't know half as much as you think you do.
Shitter. Gage? You the one playing games?
I do not aim at my hand. He who aims with his hand has forgotten the face of his father. I aim with my eye.
Did a chick? Dumb a chum? Dad a chum? Did a check.
Suck my fat one, you cheap dime store hood.
Fixed cat don't tend to wander. It's all the time crossing back and forth on that road, his luck will run out.
Mr. Secretary, the missiles are flying.
Your show. I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation.
Science. Before you're born, your mom gives you one of her chromosomes and your dad gives you one of his. Mom always gives you an X. And if dad gives you an X too, then you become a girl. But if he gives you his Y, then you become a boy. See, there are only two possibilities. XX, a girl, or XY, a boy.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is our 19th episode in our second season, which means we've done almost, and I say almost, 80 episodes. No, 70 episodes. We've almost done 70 episodes. Well, 19, I'm going to add right now. 19 plus 51
I mean, does
is,
it really matter? It just goes on
70.
And on.
Yeah, I can't add very well.
It just goes on and on and on.
On and on and on. I'm Tim. There's Ira.
Hey.
Ira's our special guest tonight. Stephanie's here.
Hello.
And what's missing?
Jeff Leboff.
The big Lebowski.
He could have brought his mom. I don't know why they didn't come.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Gene's awesome. His mom's great.
Yeah? No doubt.
She was one of my surrogate mothers up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You know, guidance and all that.
Really?
And
She tried.
Jeff's mom used to take us up to the mall before Jeff got his driver's license. And that's how I saw movies with Jeff's family. And then Jeff got his license 2 years before me. So we went and saw pretty much every movie from 1986 on.
Oh, Jeff's mom, I'm sure she was very supportive.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
And that's how we ended up here doing a show about
that's right.
movies and TV.
Well, his dad, too, very influential. Jeff's dad was one of those guys that knew everything about pop culture and movies and everything at the time. And I loved going to their houses. he had a room downstairs, which was his dad's office, which had every Playboy ever from beginning to whatever year it was.
He's a completionist.
Yeah.
Probably had the one that my dad is in.
Oh, yeah. Is your dad the centerfold?
Of course.
When is your dad in Playboy?
I told you. Remember when he did that Alan Funt
movie?
Yeah,
he did the Candy Camera movie.
There was, and I have this at home now because I found it recently, but Playboy came out with, they had an article about just Sex on Film, it was called.
Oh, so they did that every year.
Did they?
Sex on Film, yeah.
Okay, so they just showed a bunch. So that year they had that film in there.
The picture of her tits and then your dad standing there.
They actually used the clip that my dad was in, so he was in it.
I think it's a mileage out of old your dad, for sure.
Well, for that.
Old man Malcolm.
Old man.
Old man Malcolm.
Hey, when he talks about what he's done with his life, he still comes back to 1969.
Well, yeah, what did you do? What have you done?
What have I done? I haven't done jack shit.
I haven't been in an Alan Funn film. I'm there.
And you never will be.
Either. No.
We thought it would be funny to dig up Alan Funn and scare Ira. Zombie Alan Funn.
Remember when your dad was in that movie?
You're on candid camera. So guys, I'm tired.
I bet. You've been running the gamut, or the gauntlet.
The gauntlet, the gamut.
The radio gauntlet.
Saturday was a tough day. I worked all day at Mary Todd. Well, from 10 to 4. I get there at 8:30, vacuum up the hair from the day before, clean all the barber chairs, clean the bathroom, fold the towels, get ready for the thing to open up, get ready for the day, lay out the color on the trays. You know, not the color. I don't mix the color. But I do lay out the trays with the towels. Three towels.
Forceps.
One towel on the bottom, two towels. And then gloves for the hairdressers, so they don't get the color on their hair.
Wow,
it's a busy day. We're very busy, and a lot of two of the hairdressers were at Shaky Beats.
Oh yeah,
which you couldn't have paid me to go to because I'm not into EDM. No.
But Shaky Knees.
No, Shaky Knees is this weekend.
Yeah. Oh.
Shaky Beats was last weekend.
Oh, good.
Shaky Beats.
Shaggy Daggy.
Speaking of Shaggy Daggy. And then at night, I did a radio show. They call it the laboratory when they take people here at WSB who have never done a show.
And they stick them in.
And they let them workshop it. So Shane Backler from...
Shannery.
Yes, from the Herman Cain Show. He's Herman's producer. He and I got together. We decided we were going to try to do something Gen X-centered. And, you know, we'd spent a week laying out the outlines and coming up with topics and stuff. But that night, we met up about an hour before the show started, laid it all out. I cut up a bunch of music rejoin hooks. That's radio speak for, you know, radio. From music clips that go in and out of the commercial breaks. And we kind of synced them up with all the segments. So it worked pretty well. I had a lot of fun. Did you guys have a chance to listen to my awesome radio show?
Yes. I did, too. I listened to it for about an hour. Plus, I was in the drive-thru at Steak and Shake for about an hour trying to get this Kit Kat milkshake around about 10 o'clock.
How do they make it?
Kit Kat?
More on that later.
Yeah, it was... I don't know how they make it, but it's made by angels, apparently, because it was heavenly. And for the entire hour that I waited in the drive-thru, I listened to the show the whole time.
Oh, nice.
Wow. So it was real. I thought it was really good.
Thank you. I loved
all the call-ins. It's so old school to me. And
It is. And a lot of times with those call-ins, now we don't do calls on the Von Hessler Doctrine, and there's a specific reason for that. It's a short show, for one. And two, Eric's so good at laying out his point of view that you don't need callers, and I think they'd be distracting.
It would be. Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday if the show expands.
Sure.
But, you know, in this case.
Definitely don't need it.
In our case, I want calls. I would like, my eventual goal in radio is to do my own late night show. And those are the callers I want. Laid back.
Sure.
Airy, spacey, not get to the point. Maybe if you're a little loopy or you're drunk. But we actually, my favorite caller Saturday night was this guy who had worked with Waylon Jennings. I don't know if you guys heard that.
I did.
I think I heard some of that too.
That was a great call.
And he had said up front, real quick, buried in the lead, you know, and I used to work with him. And then he kind of told the story, and I said, well, did you work with him? And he goes, I said, were you friends with him? Because I wasn't friends. I worked with him. So, you know, I'm very proud of myself, patting myself on the back.
But
it was fun, and hopefully we'll get to a point where if somebody is out, then Shane and I can fill in.
Sweet.
Can't do that on the radio.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Can't curse. Let's be clean tonight.
Yeah.
To help you practice.
I don't need to do that. I've got a system. Fuck it.
Yeah, I feel like he's got to blow out the...
I'm going to be clean
tonight.
Sometimes,
right?
I just want to prove it to you guys that I can do it. All right?
Whatever. Fuck you, Ira.
I had it.
I'm going to sit here silent.
Fucking Ira. I had a terrible day today. A very terrible day today.
That bad?
Yeah, it was in the if you're keeping track of a bad day that you've had, this would be in my top 150.
Aww.
Wow.
Because they're doing some shit in our soon to be ex condominium complex. They're digging up gas lines and replacing the gas lines, and they got this machine out front. This truck is going bzz, 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 all day, and I just wanted to take a 1 hour nap, Couldn't do it. Caitlin slept right through it. I don't know how the hell she did it, but so it just incensed me, and I just got all ragey, and that caused a ragey headache that I'm trying to fight off now.
Aww. And you do look like you have a little sleepy eyes.
I'm very sleepy. I didn't get much sleep last night.
What's your go-to? Excedrin, Advil, Tylenol?
Advil.
Advil.
I'm an Advil guy.
You like an Advil?
Four Advil.
Advils taste good. I like those.
They do. If you get, they have that sweetness.
They really do.
That sweetness on top.
That's what kills your liver.
Yeah.
No, Advil isn't bad for your liver.
Oh, the Advil.
It's acetaminophen that's bad for your liver.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
The Excedrin that I take.
I thought any, like, at some point, they all kill your liver.
Yes.
Yeah.
In moderation, though, you're going to take it easy.
You can take four.
Oh, jeez.
That's 800 milligrams. Well, they have those pills that a doctor will give you a prescription for, the giant 800 milligram horse pill ibuprofen pill.
The suppository.
Which are great for hangovers.
Sure.
And, yeah, I used to get that for pain or whatever.
You just take four 200s. That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I get the gels.
Yeah,
the jelly ones. So, anyway, enough of my bullshit.
So you're not feeling tip-top, huh?
No, I'm tired. I'm very tired. I'm ready to take a nap or go to bed. Because tomorrow, I don't normally work on Tuesdays at both jobs, but tomorrow I am. Because one of the other assistants at the shop is in England. So, Speaking of the shop, didn't you go walk in with one of our number one radios, Lisa?
I certainly did, yes. We went to...
You had a little Stone Mountain date?
We did. You know, she is so lucky.
I can hear the background music now.
She lives right by
Stone... People, let me tell you about my best friend.
She lives right by Stone Mountain, so...
Yeah, they do. They let you can walk there.
Yeah, so she gets, like, the residential entrance. She doesn't even have to pay to get in this shit.
Nice.
So we just walk three blocks.
The back door.
Yeah, and then, like, they have... I didn't even know there was, like, this little nature trail in there, so we, like, went through...
Is it a nature trail to hell?
No, it's, like, super fun.
Okay.
And there's, like, little tree roots and shit, and, you know, you're scaling over creeks and cracks, and all. My dog was loving it, his fat ass. He was like,
that.
This is real. This
weather
is
was so
legit.
Nice.
It was. It was so beautiful.
God.
It was really nice. Yeah.
Good.
It was a great little... It was... Well, because, you know, I told you about the milkshake Saturday night, so I really needed that. You know.
Did it bring all the boys to the yard?
No.
Did it bring your butt to the toilet?
No, not even that.
It was the Kit Kat milkshake, I recall you saying.
It was Kit Kat milkshake. That was Saturday night. Friday night, I finally had that Marco's pizza place, which...
You never had that before?
No, it's decent.
I like their crust.
Yeah, it's
they put cornmeal on the crust. Have you had it?
I've had Marco's, yeah. It's been a while, though.
But
it's all right. I don't know.
The CineSquare thing.
Yeah, I've had that, too.
What the fuck? No, that shit is so good.
I know.
Language.
Oh, my God.
She's allowed to swear, Ira.
I'm not fooling with you, Ira.
Fucking
I'm
Ira. Noticing it
route.
More now, though, that I'm trying not to.
But that stuff. But so, yeah. I needed this.
Yeah.
I needed this hike with Lisa. But yes, right, we had a delightful time.
Good.
Good old time.
Did you talk about TV shows?
Of course we did. We leftovered it. We Fargoed it. We went around the horn. Lisa is like, she is a TV nerd. So like she will pick shit apart to the nth degree.
I know.
I know. I really enjoy that about her.
Hey, those are our radios, man.
Absolutely.
She'll also tell you that if you're not watching something, why you should be watching it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very passionate.
She is. And she's right, usually. So
I feel like I would have, I would really fall in love with her dad, too, because her dad sounds super cool.
And I've never met him.
But he's a, you know, he seems to like a lot of the same shows that we like. And
so how far am I going to be from you guys when I move to Tucker?
I'm not really sure.
We're moving to Tucker, Georgia.
It's a nice area.
It is.
Good schools, apparently.
I can walk to the Starbucks. That's all I care about.
Tucker's closer to Atlanta than Stone Mountain.
It is, yeah. But you know what I noticed? When I came home off of, I went 78 and went over there the other day, and it isn't very far to get to 78, so I think I could probably get over to Stone Mountain quickly.
Sure. Well,
you could like grab KP and hustle up the mutts and meet us at Stone Mountain.
Yeah.
We could all trek the nature trail.
I'm on the opposite. I'm like in Mars compared to where you are. I'm on the west side.
Yeah, Mr. West Side. Oh, hey, there's Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'm pausing that.
Oops.
You know how they do ads?
I hate that.
I don't like ads either.
But the good
like
thing
it.
Is, this I noticed tonight, though, for my first time, my first trek out here in weeks, that they took the green cover off of the I-85 thing.
Yeah, is it about ready?
Cover is off. I mean, you can see the porta potties. I was thinking to myself, what would it be like to take a dump on the side of I-85 in the middle
probably
of
a lot of fun.
That's what you were thinking about?
I was. I mean, could you imagine
That's
being in there and
you.
The thing's just rattling and shaking and you're just in there letting go of... whatever Taco Bell you had the night before. I mean.
By the way, you were right. I was listening to Last Podcast on the Left. Finally getting caught up on the Eileen Wuornos.
Isn't that great?
Great episode.
So good. Yeah, they got the Nirvana one. They just dropped it like 30 minutes before I got here. I can't wait to listen to part one.
I'm so behind them. I'm behind on everything.
What are we listening to now?
This is supposed to be Nature Trail to Hell. It just takes forever. So.
Oh.
I'm just going to fade it out there. Do-do-do-do-do. Nature Trail to Hell.
I didn't like it.
Well, can't play too much of it. So let's pivot to what we're supposed to talk about. I don't want anybody tweeting us.
What do you mean supposed?
Us.
It's a labyrinth, man.
I know, but people are tweeting. You said you were going to talk about what show are we supposed to talk about? Legend.
Legion.
Legion, not Legion. Legend. You're supposed to talk about Legion.
You're going to have Rockdale Tiger. He's going
to. No, he's getting pissed.
Is he?
Oh, he piped in Saturday night. Oh, you guys are taking too many phone calls, but otherwise it's good. Thank you. Rockdale Tiger.
Hey, I love that guy.
I do too.
He's got opinions.
He does. Share them, Rockdale
the
Tiger.
Teacher.
But he's a teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. He's imparting wisdom to the young.
I think he said he liked King Cake too, which was kind of cool.
I'm sure he does.
King. Oh, yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, you got to like
people
the King
without
Cake.
Kids.
He's got good taste. He's got good taste.
I don't have kids and I like it.
All right.
So you can't do that. So, all right. Let's get going here. First things first, Dark Tower trailer. Anybody see it?
Yes.
What'd you guys think? Saw it.
I know before you even start shaming me, I've never read the books.
Okay.
So just as a person watching a trailer of a movie, I thought it looked kick-ass.
Right.
I love Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm.
I worship him. I think he's a
girl.
And
because you're a female.
But no, and because he's a badass actor.
Stringer Bell,
that.
Baby. Stringer Bell.
Hell yeah, Stringer Bell.
You know, he said he never watched an episode of The Wire.
I believe that. I could see him being
that. I hate
that
when actors do that.
Way.
Yeah, he goes, I just did a job, you know.
I hate that.
Come I can see him being that way.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I didn't say I want to hang out with him, but I like watching anything he's in. So
yeah.
I thought it looked great.
Okay. I thought it you haven't seen it. Right?
No, I didn't.
All right.
But I'm intrigued.
I thought it looked too Hollywood, and I'll tell you why. Because it's got, if you are familiar, and I mean very familiar with the books, the Dark Tower series, which is, I think, 7 or 8 books. I can't think right now. Because I'm tired and I don't feel like looking it up. But the first one is called The Gunslinger. And The Gunslinger is simply a movie about, or simply a book about Roland Deschain, who is, it starts off with him in a bar and he's looking for the man in black. And the man in black, blah, blah, blah. He chased him across the desert. On his way to, while he's following the man in black, he stops at a way station, which is some place where you can feed your horses and whatnot. And he meets Jake Chambers, who ends up being the kid that you know, whatever. And I'm not going to tell you what happens to him in case you never read it, but he leaves the story for a little while. And then he comes back later in another book. There's right after that one is The Drawing of the Three, where after Roland talks to the man in black, doesn't kill him, after he talks to him, he sleeps for a very long time. And then he wakes up on a beach and lobsters chew his hand off.
Oh.
Lobstrosities, they're called. Did-a-chum, did-a-chick, did-a-chum, did-a-dip-a-bip-a-bip-a-bip. And so...
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, it's not really.
I know.
But The Drawing of the Three is Roland Deschain of Gilead, the gunslinger, drawing other people into his world that he needs in order to reach the Dark Tower. So the whole movie, series of books is Roland trying to get to the Dark Tower. And
why?
Why?
Yes.
Because he doesn't want it to fall. People are trying to knock it down and destroy the universe. It's basically good versus evil, and the evil are trying to destroy the tower. Now, the tower is, in actuality, the center of Stephen King's fiction universe. So it basically is a tower on which every world is held, and it spins and spins and spins, or whatever it does, and there are beams coming out of it. And this
is like the center of the Stephen King solar system, is
exactly.
What you're saying.
Exactly. This is why a lot of the characters in his novels will drift in and out of the Dark Tower series and vice versa. So I've invested an awful lot of time. I've listened to the audio. I've read all the books, and then I listened to all the audiobooks because the first batch of them are all done by a guy named Frank Muller, who is since deceased. He got in an automobile or a motorcycle accident, which is why Stephen King created a fund for audiobook readers and voiceover people who don't have good health care. He might have lived had he had good health care, but I don't know about that altogether.
How long ago did he do that?
Years ago. I mean, I don't remember when Frank died. 2003, in that era. I mean,
right.
I could look it up, but I'm not going to. So Frank Muller, great narrator, great storyteller, on par with the guy from FX, the guy that Will something or other. He narrates a lot of books now. And Will Patton. But Frank Muller, by far the best at narrating audiobooks, in my opinion. So I've listened to these books, and I know the universe, I know all the catchphrases. And to see this on screen, even when it was announced, I thought, oh, I don't know how they're going to make a movie out of this. It's not Lord of the Rings. It's not Game of Thrones. Although they could have gone the Game of Thrones route and done it on HBO, Stars, or any of those networks, and done a drawn-out, expansive thing and just told the story, because a lot of people don't know the story. What the movie is a sequel to the books. Because in order to know that, you have to have read the books. But it's a sequel to the original story that Stephen King crafted over, I don't know, however many years. I'm not looking forward to it. And I know this is stupid, and I'm putting a lot of...
Well, because you think they're just going to cut it, you know, to fit it into a two-hour film.
Well, there's going to be sequels, and Ron Howard has said that he's still working on a series that will accompany the movie. But to see Idris Elba as Roland Deschain loading his guns... You know, they show it in the trailer. You know, he's got all the revolvers, speed loaders, basically, on a belt, and he's... And then they do show him rapidly loading it by hand. But gunslingers don't use those. So that's one thing that bothered me.
Is it too stylized for
it, you? It is. It's slick. I mean, McConaughey looks good. Idris Elba looks great. I don't know the name of the kid playing Jake, but, you know, he looks like Jake. By the way, if you're looking at the trailer, there's... You remember there's a psychiatrist that's talking to the kid in the trailer?
Yeah.
Did you notice the framed photo that's behind him?
No.
Overlook Hotel.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice little...
So there's my thoughts on that. And, you know, I'm just kind of teasing. I'm going to tease ahead here because Adio Labyrinth today, we are going to be talking about the great Stephen King and not so great Stephen King movies from the 1980s.
And we're going to argue about some of those.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're going to argue. So me, I don't think I'm into it, and I probably won't go see it in the theater. Also, it's coming out in August, so that should speak volumes.
No, I'm probably not going to go see it in the theater.
Right.
But I do want to see it.
Wow, what do they say about an August release?
Usually August movies are terrible. Like a movie that comes out in you know, March.
End of summer release. Yeah.
Throw it out there.
I'm the man in black, and I'm being chased by Roland Deschain. That's why I get in my Lincoln.
That's what I was going to say. Not one Lincoln in the whole trailer.
No, I drive a Lincoln. When I try to run Jake over, I drive a Lincoln.
And watch the leather, man.
Have you seen that new Lincoln commercial where for some reason he just laughs maniacally and staring off into the distance?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand.
I saw the one where he dove into the pole or something.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So... new show on Stars that I am loving and digging is called American Gods. You guys watching that?
Well, I don't have Stars, and then you didn't have Stars, so how did you watch it?
I ordered Stars.
Oh,
I ordered Stars because I figured I might as well do it because, one, when you order Stars, you get Showtime, and I really want to watch this I'm Dying Up Here series that's going to be coming on next month, that Jim Carrey series about stand-up. That's set in the 70s, and it's about the... it stars Melissa Leo as a comedy club owner in the 70s, and I saw a preview
for that. That looks good.
It looks very good.
So are they going to be real comics? The history of real comics, or is it just going to be sort of like basic?
These are all characters. These are all actors. I mean, yeah. I don't know if they're.
I'm sure they're going to be modeled on
like
some
real stories from that time or whatever. But it's not like some zany whatever. It shows you like all the brutal, gritty shit that they went through, especially in the 70s. But anyway, so I ordered Stars. I was like, fuck it.
Yeah,
it's $13 a month. I mean, might as well throw it on the pile of Spotify and Netflix and all the other garbage shit that I'm watching to avoid Armageddon, thinking about it, what have you.
Not far away.
But I hate the guy.
Who?
What's his face? The lead guy.
You don't like him?
Can't stand him.
Oh, I dig him.
Who is it?
Can't stand him.
Well, his name is something Moon.
Moon Blood or Moon.
Reverend Moon?
Shadow Moon.
Hate him.
Shadow Moon. Why don't you like him?
I personally don't think he's a good actor.
All right. Wait till you see the second episode.
I watched some of it I feel like Ian McShane, he's playing against a cardboard cutout. That's what I feel like they didn't give him.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
To me, anyway, I just, and then the whole, Oh, my God. Why did they make us watch that Murray brother have sex like that?
Joel Murray?
I didn't need to see that ever.
There's a scene in the first one. Yeah. So basically, the show is about gods, and you can go find out who each of them represent. I can tell you Mr. Wednesday is Odin.
Okay.
So Mr. Wednesday is the character that Ian McShane is playing. He's Odin.
Oh, okay.
And what's his name? Is it Raoul? Ray Donovan's brother, his real brother. Oh, Pablo.
Okay.
Pablo Schreiber plays the leprechaun. But if you watch that first episode where the Vikings come and immediately they get shot with arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they bring their god. So it's the Viking god, which ends up being, you know, like a leprechaun. And he shows up, I've got gold.
Wait a minute. Porn Stash is Liev Schreiber's brother?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Pablo Schreiber.
Holy shit.
Leprechauns? All right,
I'm out.
Now, you got to see
it. He's the biggest, baddest leprechaun you've ever seen.
He says he's a leprechaun, sure, but he's a god. And Odin, you know, who is Thor's father, that's Mr. Wednesday. And that is played by Ian McShane. And then you have Orlando Jones. Oh, my God.
Which we don't see him till the second episode,
right? You see him at the beginning of the second episode, and it takes place on a slave ship. So it's in the late 1600s. It's a Dutch slave ship, and in the galley or whatever you call it, the hold, it's a bunch of slaves, and one of the slaves is praying to God in his own language, saying, "I don't know where are we going, blah blah blah. Save me! I can't give you gifts." And then Orlando Jones, you see a big spider crawling, and then it's Orlando Jones, and he goes, "You motherfuckers are fucked." He goes, "For the next 100 years, you're fucked." He goes, "100 years after that, you're fucked. Even after you get your freedom, you're fucked."
Wow.
And
I missed all that.
He goes, "What's stopping you from, you know, picking up, you know, setting fire and throwing all these white motherfuckers, these Dutch motherfuckers into the ocean?" He goes, "But we will die." And he goes, "Better to die of something than to die of nothing." And it was just super powerful. So I love the acting on this show. I get what you're talking about. He's the least interesting character.
He feels like a fox. Like he'd be on a Fox 8 o'clock show on a Tuesday night.
He's good looking.
There's been a lot of shows that have suffered from that.
He's all flash and no substance.
Give that second episode a chance.
All right, I'll watch.
Especially when you get
second.
To Peter Stormare, who plays a Slavic god, and he's Cloris Leachman's brother. In it. Yeah.
Everybody's brother's in it.
And so it's a show. I mean, it's a Neil Gaiman book, so if you know that. But everybody represents a god from history. And what's the other one? God. Crispin Glover's in it.
That's in the second one, right?
He didn't show up in that one. So maybe the third.
Okay.
Now, Biff.
Take your dance. Do that again. That was good. That's the character he's playing. But it's... And then there's a kid who's a god. I thought that was cool. The techno god or whatever. The kid who... You know, is a computer-based god.
Oh, yeah.
And then the god of media shows up in the second episode. That's played by Gillian Anderson.
Oh, okay.
And she's dressed up as Lucille Ball.
If Jeff was here, he'd tell you it's Gillian.
Yeah, okay, Gillian, whatever the fuck. And the best line is, "You want to see Lucy's tits?"
Oh, wow.
So just keep watching it if you're not into it.
All right, I'll try.
Does the Jewish god show up with coffee and cake?
Who's hungry? Oh, my. Did you take the 401? How did we get here? Did you?
Why make the show?
On the turnpike.
Everybody go back to bed. Oh, come on.
I took the wrong exit, and then I was here in episode 6. I was supposed to be here in 3, but I was late.
And I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of gods and stuff like that, are you guys watching, are you both watching Fargo?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'm not caught up though, but I think I'm one behind.
Okay.
But I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm caught up.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that Elizabeth, what's her name? Mary Elizabeth?
Winstead.
God, I love her.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah. She's very good. Do you like the tampon episode?
I didn't see that. I heard about it though.
Yeah, I did like that episode.
Yeah, my God.
But since Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah.
You remember that
movie?
Yeah.
But you've still never seen the prequel to The Thing yet, have you?
The Thing and The Thing?
The Thing, Kurt Russell, the prequel that she was in, she stars in it.
No.
She's the heroine in that.
No.
I told you guys, it's so fucking badass. I don't know why people have slept on The Thing. It's so fucking badass. And it leads right into The Thing with Kurt Russell.
So they don't have cell phones
Seamless.
And shit?
No.
Okay.
It's set in the 70s.
All right.
She's amazing. She's fantastic.
30% naked in it?
No. There's no nudity. But just picture, think of the thing, which we all love, a great movie, and then imagine the special effects being incredible.
Right.
So that's it. Okay. And that's how good it is.
Well, and she was in the newer Cloverfield.
Yes.
That was good.
She's
don't go out there. Do not open that door.
Roseanne.
My voice is.
You're out of your element.
I knew you were getting there.
You're out of your element, zombie, alien, or whatever you are.
Open out that door. Mary Elizabeth, hot.
Rob McElhaney and Ray Wise were in this week's
episode. Oh, God, the fucking Mac. He was such a piece of shit.
I know he was, but he was Mac.
He was Mac.
With a mustache.
It was so great. So are we going to fuck or not?
Yeah. Am I getting laid tonight or what? And she says, oh, what? All right, later.
I'm going to go drop some kids off at the pool. And she was like, what? Uh-huh.
I'm calling this the spring of and summer of Mary Coon, of Carrie Coon.
Carrie Coon, the leftovers.
Oh, God, and the leftovers. But what is in the box? What is the thing with the hand when you flick the switch and the hand comes out and then just shuts it back?
That's something she found in
the
hotel
room. What is that thing?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What the hell
is that? If you watch that episode, you see at the end they reveal what it is. It's turning off the alien. It's an analogy for turning off that little robot that went through the entire history of the world. It's the story written by her stepfather. I mean, this show has so many layers.
Wait, you're talking about Fargo or Leftovers?
We're talking about Fargo.
Oh, okay.
There's so many layers to this show that I'm finding it difficult to keep up.
So she put the box it was in the back rear view window of the car as she was driving away. So she kept the box.
She kept the box.
She brought
it
with her. There's a box in this thing that she finds in the hotel of this place. She goes out to L.A. And its only function is the hand comes out and then it flips and then the hand goes back in. And it's so weird. It's such a David Lynch thing.
It's Lynchian, yes.
Yeah. It is.
And when she's out in L.A., I mean, it's fantastic, the stuff that she's going to, you know. And then the woman who played the woman who played the waitress who used to be the 70s actress.
Oh, yeah. That's Clint Eastwood's daughter, Francesca Eastwood.
Yeah, and that's her real mother, because Clint Eastwood used to bang that lady.
Oh, the chicken? That's Frances Fisher.
Yeah, he used to bang her. She was in The Unforgiven. She played one of the whores.
Yeah, in the Titanic, she was a bitch that wouldn't let you on the fucking boat.
Yep.
Oh, right.
So if you guys haven't checked out any season of Fargo, check out this season. I like the beginning of last season better. It's good this season. I enjoy it. But I really like last season because you had Gene Smart really being and Ted Danson.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a great season.
I know. I was worried with this season because the first one was a little slow.
It was.
You know, and I was like, ah, shit.
Oh, free. Well, and
you and McGregor.
Well, and then last season you had the the freaking Shotgun Brothers and the it was like, you know, you had those guys.
70s vibe. And the music.
Yeah. The slutty daughter who is now on Legion.
Yeah.
Is she?
She was great on there. But yeah, what's amazing about the show is you can take everybody out of it. And then we had a whole new cast of characters this week, except for Carrie Coon. And it was just as, you know, interesting and kept you completely involved in it. So
now the thing that I always say, do you need to watch any of the others?
You don't need to, no.
Yeah, but there's no references whatsoever.
There are, but they're very subtle.
Well, okay. I mean, and they do reference, like, the movie. They reference the movie. Like, in this one, they reference, like, they did, like, of course, Arby's.
Yes.
They bring up Arby's in, like, every episode.
You want to go to Arby's?
Back to the movie.
Yep.
Swingin' Dick from No Country for Old Men. Dingus from Hudsucker Proxy. So they do, like, they bring up little things from the movie.
The lawyer from Fargo who got killed.
That was the episode before last.
Yes.
Stan Grossman, yeah. Yeah, so they'll bring up little things from the movie, but never...
Stan Grossman says it's a good deal.
Yeah, I would say that you don't even need to see the movie, but I would say see the movie. Don't worry about having to see every season. But see the movie just to get the vein of it.
There's Lebowski references,
I couldn't watch
too.
Season 3 without watching season 2.
You couldn't? Of Fargo? I haven't seen season 1 yet.
It seemed wrong to me.
Oh, season 1 is incredible.
When it's on Netflix, I'll watch it.
Billy Bob.
I know.
I told you, I got that 30-day free trial of Hulu.
Oh, it's on Hulu?
Yeah, no, just get the 30-day free.
Yeah, all right.
He's so good as Malvo. He is
Malvo.
Fucking fantastic
as
Malvo.
All right, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I just hooked
it's one of his best performances ever.
I hooked John Mark on both seasons. I was like, you got to watch. He's like, all right, I'll
like,
watch
you can't
it.
Stop watching Billy Bob.
He watched both seasons in like 2 days.
In 2 days? God, I'd love to have that kind of
freedom. That first, anyway.
I would love to have that. Anyway, you can't do that with 3 dogs. Yeah, you can. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Speaking of Carrie Coon, she is so great. I have liked her since the first season of The Leftovers. And then I saw her in Gone Girl.
I thought she was amazing
in that.
She was.
Who was she in Gone Girl?
Ben Affleck's sister.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Definitely a good actress.
She is.
She was great in that.
Her husband used to be on Homeland, her real husband in real life. It's the senator who became the head of the CIA and wanted to fire everybody but ended up working with him. He's a tall guy with white hair and glasses.
Oh, I didn't watch him.
I don't know his name. The Leftovers, Carrie Coon.
I finished season two.
Okay.
So I'm done with that. Now I'm more whatever. I got it now.
Last night's episode, this week, the most recent one, episode three, confused the shit out of me. Episode two was Scott Glenn, the whole show about him in Australia. He's an amazing fucking actor, and he better get an Emmy nomination.
He absolutely should. You know, and then a lot of people, I heard that a lot of Leftovers, like true hardcore fans, were so pissed about that episode.
Why?
Because they felt like it was such a waste of their time.
Listen, I'm one of those people.
You are.
I agree with you that his performance was phenomenal, and he's a ridiculously great actor. I think it should have been there, but I was just kind of bored.
I'm not sorry, I watched it.
I was riveted. Yeah, I was bored too. With last night's. Because I didn't know what was going on.
I thought last night's was great.
Explain to me why they went to Australia. She went to Australia with the money hidden, so...
Because she wanted to try that machine.
Yeah.
She wanted to try the machine.
Or find out if it was bullshit.
All right.
But really...
She was going to go through.
Yeah, she was. She got in the box and everything.
But why didn't she go through?
Because she answered that question.
She answered that question
fucked
wrong.
Up. Remember last week when that guy killed himself?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he said... That he answered the question wrong.
He set himself on fire.
Yeah, he set himself on fire because he said that he couldn't kill a baby in order to cure cancer.
Right.
And she just very flippantly said, man, what's one more kid?
Yeah.
And it was the way that she answered it. They were like, no.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And it was the way that he answered it. She
said, I have the money. And they're like, we don't care about your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, okay.
Like, what did she care? Because, like, she wasn't going to miss her bus for that baby. She ran in and was like, here's your fucking baby. And she ran and got the bus.
Right.
So there's no way in hell she was going to do it. So
and I think she's right. That was a test from them.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Yeah. And then it's like the two of them, that whole last episode was like them saying goodbye to each other.
Right. Because they're splitting up. Right.
Absolutely. You know, like,
well, they teased that when they showed her as an old lady.
She was like, fuck you. She went ahead and just was like, screw you. And then it was like she banged him in the bathroom as like a consolation
prize. Oh, they
had dirty
hate sex.
Yeah, that was kind of like
that
a...
Scene.
Yeah, she has nice
hair. But
she put her face on the counter, which I was like, ew.
And I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was like it was hot until then I was like, no. Then I was like, ew, no.
Well, she's going to be on... She's on Fargo, so she had to get out of there.
Yeah, you got to get out of here and get the Fargo.
Yeah, but I don't understand what you thought was...
I'm just confused because I didn't know who that girl was he was seeing because I haven't watched season two yet.
I love that, though. How he was so, like...
Oh, yeah.
Thought it was Evie.
Right,
and,
yeah, because you have to see season two because that's...
And the woman who killed the Australian woman that killed the sheriff or killed the guy named Kevin, the police chief, and then at the end of last week's, you just... Found the wrong Kevin.
Right. So she thinks that, I mean, whatever.
That episode moved too slow.
Are you kidding? You guys are wrong.
You guys are both
Ira,
wrong.
You're insane.
I do not agree. I feel like we are coming at it from people that haven't watched it really hardcore from the beginning, and you're coming at it from a different perspective as like somebody.
I was hardcore the whole time.
But I'm saying we haven't been.
Oh.
Me and Tim have just kind of dipped back into it. So I think that's why we have different perspectives.
I don't think it was horrible.
So he didn't really see that girl. He thought he saw that girl.
Right, he's cracking up, because in season two, which you don't know this, he sees that bitch Patty, like, through the whole freaking thing.
Right, and she's dead.
Yes, yes, but, and so he is projecting again, because he feels like he's losing Carrie Coon, he sees her slipping away, so that's why his mind's cracking up.
Okay, answer this question. Where was the explosion? We didn't see it.
We don't know yet.
I know, we don't know yet.
We're going to find
out. Okay.
We're going to find out, and I thought that was cool, too.
Abrams,
I was like, ooh, something big happened.
And then, but see, then there's the tie-in. Now here's him, and here's his dad, and now they're both together in Australia.
All right, and she's sitting in a hotel room smoking, getting rained on by sprinklers.
Yeah, and then now here comes Matt, is coming next week, because Matt's trying to get Kevin Jr. back to Miracle, because according to Matt, he's got to be in Miracle.
Right,
on that day. Exactly.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, and those people that were with the girls were building the ark, or building a boat.
Yeah.
Maybe not the ark, but it was a boat.
But they were doing something,
They were building an ark.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't that big.
I think it was big enough for them.
For them.
They weren't building the ark.
That's what I'm saying.
So they got their whole end of the something going on, too.
The show is fascinating. And it is very Lynchian, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that you were talking to Lynchian about Fargo, though.
But either way, it all is.
All right, so there's a couple shows you guys are watching that I'm not. Feel free to discuss them.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call.
Come on, everybody's watching this, man.
Everybody but me.
Anybody who is a fan of it probably jizzed their pants last week when they saw Fring and they saw
Gus
Salamanca,
and,
and then they were back at the, I mean, they were having the flashbacks.
I mean, you know Breaking Bad.
Of course, yes, I love Breaking Bad.
It was a complete
reunion.
But
you remember, ding!
Yeah, that guy.
It shows you where
the
bad
story.
Yeah, it shows you where the bad blood started between him and Fring, and you get to see all of it, you know, come to whatever. So that's what I'm saying. Oh God, you love this,
okay,
Tim? I swear to God.
All right.
Sit there. You're watching. You're just like, I'm waiting for Walter and Jesse to walk back in at any minute.
Well, hey, I'm happy with Odenkirk and
it's really good. And Michael McKean,
yeah,
he's incredible. And then when you
see, I love that girl. Who's that girl? That you know. What's her name?
Rhea Seahorn, the one that plays the lawyer. Yeah. Jimmy's love interest.
Yeah, she's so great.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's incredible.
Yeah. She's great. And then Mike, you get so much Mike in
I
the
love
trial.
Mike. He's my favorite
so
character.
So much Mike.
It's all Mike.
You got to get back in.
All right.
Lots of Mike.
You got to make time.
Mucho
Stop sleeping
Mike.
Completely.
Okay.
All right. Quit one of your 12 jobs.
I only have two.
And Silicon Valley's back on, but I'm on one behind. Are you watching?
Yes, I watched it last. I watched it this morning before I went to work, and
it's three episodes.
Hilarious.
All right, who's watching The White Princess?
What is that?
It's Anoush.
Who's the princess? It depends.
My wife loves period shows.
Oh,
not shows about women having their periods.
Oh,
No.
Okay.
She likes watching these period dramas, these princesses and queens and Elizabeth and all of them and. Blah, blah, blah. But so they're on all the time. I don't watch them.
Does she like the royalty?
She does.
Like, you know, my
I'm not saying it's dumb anyway. I'm because I watched a couple of them. Victoria was great. Excellent show. What's the other one that's good? Rain is it's kind of a CW-like show.
Secondhand.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that. But I did like a couple of the other ones. I got her on to watching The Tudors, which was a good show.
I heard it was.
That's just like a freak fest, though.
It was a lot of fucking, but I like the historical.
What channel?
It was on Showtime.
I like Game of Thrones, but that's just kind of like more of a fantasy.
That
period.
Show is so made for nerds, but it's also made for normal people, normies.
Yeah,
because there's lots of tits and there's lots of. How about what was the show? The Leftovers? No. It was American Gods. They showed a full hard-on cock on a phone.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen
what
that
mean
before.
On a phone.
Well,
oh, on some,
the
a
guy's
on
wife
the
was cheating on him when she died. He was in jail. The guy that Steph doesn't like.
cardboard.
He was let out of jail early. He was supposed to get out a week. Anyway, his wife died, and it turns out she was cheating on him with his best friend. And he looks through her phone.
Yeah.
Because it comes back in a box of evidence, and he's looking through the text.
It's
and
stiffy, huh?
But it's huge. It's a big, thick cock on TV.
Yeah, she bit it off whenever they got into a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did
they both died.
She garped him. Rolled according to GARP.
I know. Look, there was some people, like I had there's a dude that used to rep at our office, used to bring drugs, and he was cheating on his wife with, like, the neighbor.
How did you know?
Oh, well, everybody found out because they were like best friends, and then they got into a car accident together when they were out cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's how both of the spouses found out because then they both got divorced, and then they got married, and then they got divorced because they both cheated on each other again.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the cycle repeats.
Cycling. Lies. And deceit.
All righty. We're going to take a break,
and
then we're going to come back, and we're going to do Radio Labyrinth. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Stephen King movies from the 1980s. Maybe a little appearance from the Redback's Troll. Maybe. All right.
I got my pencils ready.
All right. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes and like us and give us ratings. We'll read them at the end of the show. Also, follow us on Twitter at @Radio_Labyrinth and on Facebook, Radio Labyrinth.
Hey,
Hey, Scruffy, you need a haircut? Got an idea for you. Go to MaryToddHairCo.com, find yourself an appointment, and get yourself a haircut. They also have hot lather shaves and some of the best colorists in the city. Don't believe me? Pick up your iPhone and go, hey, Siri, where can I get the best men's or women's haircut in Atlanta? Guess what? It's going to pop up Mary Todd Hair Co. Also, Mary Todd has a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, all handmade using the finest ingredients available. Did I say they're produced locally? Well, they are. Check them out at MaryToddHairCo.com/products.
Did you get this whole fucking gender fluidity shit?
Oh, that gender fluidity.
Well, we're going to talk about that, right?
Well, it's running. Well, we're rolling. We're back.
Well, I put it in the news if we were going to do news. But
well, we can talk about it real quick here. The MTV Movie Awards, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I know
movie
about
and
it,
TV Awards.
Or whatever.
Because this is the first time they ever put them together.
We did genderless acting. Oh, we're so forward thinking and progressive.
We did genderless acting.
Fuck you, you virtue signaling pieces of shit. Oh, let me squeeze my nipples. I feel so fucking smug. I mean, eat my dick. There's a reason they have those categories. Is so no one's excluded. And Eric brought it up on the Von Hessler Doctrine today. What it's going to do, it's going to create a pecking order, or it's going to create, okay, well, last year we gave it to women, so right. This year we have to give it to a guy, but it can't be a white guy. It's got to be an Asian guy. I mean, fuck,
it's going to make everybody have to be more PC. Even,
exactly.
Than they thought they were avoiding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff
just
Jeff texted us, so what are you fags talking about?
But he didn't mean it like that.
No, he
didn't mean it like
that. He meant it like
he knew that you were having a cigarette.
Yeah. He was using 80s speak.
Yeah.
An English cigarette.
Pre-PC times.
Yes, exactly. I get into it another time. No one wants to hear about my political views. Just going to say that I've been struggling to figure out who I am politically over because I used to be super liberal. And I realized I'm still a liberal. I'm just not regressive left.
I'm a centrist, meaning that
I'm a centrist, but I believe in classical liberalism where freedom of speech is a liberal thing and defending rights and all that shit. But anyway, I don't know how we got there. What were we talking about?
We were talking about gender fluidity.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
she's a terrible actress to begin with. So here's your shitty thing that looks like a popcorn box with the Moon Man on it that nobody even knows who the fuck the Moon Man is because they don't even have those in the promos anymore.
You're talking about what's-her-face that won for Belle in Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, Hermione.
Emma Watson.
But I will say this. I watched enough of it to see the little girl that Bobby Brown, Millie Bobby Brown, the one who plays Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see her little acceptance
speech?
Yeah,
she's great.
That was like watching fucking Kate Winslet win the Oscar. How is she this well-spoken and so just, she's so incredible.
She's a great actress. She was on
14 years old.
She was on a BBC show before that I forget the name of.
You told me.
Which I loved, and it only got one season and they canceled it. But.
She is just a phenomenal little girl. And then that kid, the one kid from Stranger Things, is also in the It movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Because they played an extended trailer from It last night. That was the one good thing about that last night is they played a lot of long trailers. Mm-hmm. So we got to see It.
I watched it online. I can't wait to see that.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that they played that was really long.
I mean, the It miniseries meant a lot to me. I mean, I liked it. But I'm looking forward to a movie where it's not made for television.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how could you not like Tim Curry as Pennywise? I mean,
right.
He was creepy as shit. But yeah, the movie does look, it looks like they've done it justice.
And The Stand. I think The Stand is a real good miniseries, and I enjoyed that too. So why don't we get into A.D.L. Labyrinth?
Let's do it!
And I'll stop complaining about Emma Watson and her phony, stupid, fucking pat myself on the back award.
And who's watching MTV anyway?
Me!
Oh, yeah, regularly?
I watch all kinds of like little tidbits and whatnot.
Really?
I watch teeny bopper shows. Like I'll watch Awkward and shit like that. I like to pretend like I'm 13. I don't care.
Really?
I don't give a shit.
But the 13-year-olds are just watching everything on YouTube.
No, they're watching MTV.
That's why I have all the new.
I thought nobody has cable.
That's why I know all the future songs. Ira, and you don't.
Thank God. All right.
What now?
Go for it.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
No.
Mask off.
That's it.
Mask off.
Riff a little bit. I'm going to find something I want to play.
Oh, he's looking for something.
Anyway, but yeah.
Shows do you watch on MTV?
Oh, I don't watch a lot of shows on MTV. Oh. I watch videos and things like that. In the morning time, sometimes I'll watch the buzz and I'll catch like new songs.
Is there Headbangers Ball anywhere? That's what I want to know.
No,
there
you
is on
go to
MTV
VH1
Classic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'd be watching if I was watching MTV.
Yeah, I still watch Headbangers Ball sometimes.
I was contemplating
metal. It's called, what's it called? Metal.
I don't know.
It's with that one dude.
Metal Mayhem or something?
Metal, no.
Meltdown? Metal?
No, and it's like a shit.
Metal in your ass?
Gender fluid, Metallica, blah, 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 gender fluid.
It's that one guy. He's like
corrugated metal.
He's an ultra metal nerd, and then they just kind of like talk about metal and the great, you know, like they'll just say like Dio is a topic, and then they'll just suss it out.
Oh, yes.
You know what this music is?
Yes,
means.
I do.
You know what this is from?
The intro of this.
Shining.
The beginning of The Shining.
I know. You can't mistake that.
I can just see Wendy's teeth.
God, the cinematography
through the windshield
in this movie.
Yeah, they invented the, I don't know if they invented it, but they used the Steadicam to open the entire film with the helicopter following the car.
I found out yesterday our friend Lisa has never seen The Shining. She's too afraid to watch it. She's too afraid to watch it.
All right, that's it.
I think you can
Show's over.
All right, so Adio Labyrinth, we haven't done in a while. This week, Stephen King, in honor of The Dark Tower and It coming out this year, Stephen King movies from the 1980s. And now I broke them into three different tiers. The best, the okay, and the eh.
But we're going to argue about that.
We might have some arguments.
Oh, I cursed. Damn.
Ah! $5 in the swear jar. All right, let's start with 1980 itself and the movie that this song is from. This is the intro to The Shining. So The Shining starred Jack Nicholson, Scatman Crothers, and Shelley Duvall.
Now, what can you not say about The Shining? I mean,
listen, it's not a true adaptation of the book, okay? Kubrick created a dreamlike suspense thriller. It still scares the shit out of me, so I know where Lisa's coming from. It's hard to watch. It is a scary movie. And it does keep me from avoiding molding women in bathtubs and creepy hedge mazes.
But it builds up that anxiety in you, though, when you're watching things.
It does.
Know, it's like every scene is like,
I know. Oh, and Danny Lloyd played Danny Torrance.
He never was in anything ever after that.
I don't think he was.
That was it.
Danny's not
I think
here,
it, I think
Mrs.
it messed
Torrance.
Him up, like, forever.
I imagine it did. The thing about The Shining is all the stuff that's been come out after it. The Kubrick was revealing that he faked the moon landing for NASA. I mean, there's all these conspiracies
around
it.
What's that documentary, Room 237?
Is that the name of the movie?
There's a documentary that showcases that whole scenario.
The room where the old nasty witch was in the bathtub.
Right. King allegedly hated that film, by the way.
Yeah. But didn't...
He didn't like it because it's not... The stories, The Shining, and then the sequel that he wrote a couple years ago called Dr. Sleep, which is Danny Torrance all grown up.
Right.
The story revolves around Stephen King's battle with alcoholism.
Really?
Yes. So if you read The Shining book, his father is an abusive alcoholic. And in Dr. Sleep, you hear a lot about the program, the 12-step programs, the AA that Stephen King went through. So that's a lot of Dr. Sleep. None of that in The Shining movie, by the way. And
lot of work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Don't mind if I do.
crazy?
Do you honestly think that, still even at this point, after all these years, that Stephen King would still hate on this movie when he sees how much it means to so many people?
I think he accepts that, but I think, you know, they did a TV movie.
I hated it.
I didn't see
what,
it.
Before
it was a piece
of
shit. With the dude from Wings.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. How dare them, is what I say.
Well, King wanted, he produced it. He wanted something closer to his novel.
Bah.
Meh.
But
meh.
Didn't Kubrick put in some sort of FU right in that opening scene, though, to him? Something about the car.
Yeah,
right?
He didn't want him around. He changed the color of the car.
Right.
He made it yellow instead of red.
And that was like a subtle F you, I'm going to do my own thing.
This is my movie, motherfucker.
Right.
I mean, and it is. And it's a masterpiece. I'm sorry. It's a master.
I love Shelley Duvall.
I do too. That whole movie.
No, I actually had a thing for her.
Oh, you did? I never
had. Ew, too skinny. Ira,
I'm
why?
Telling you. I don't know. There was something about her I kind of liked.
She's such a dumpster whore.
It was from Popeye.
What? She just is so
She was a hot olive oil, I'll tell you that.
She was a good olive oil.
She's also good in Annie Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was
look, God just came out of the men's room.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of The Shining, the film, or the book, and you've never read the sequel, go ahead and pick it up. It's called Dr. Sleep.
But you listened to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I started reading
Will Patton read it.
Right. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll continue because I read like maybe a quarter of it.
That was one of the only times where I thought I liked the movie better than the book. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I did.
Yeah.
I like the movie better than the book.
Same thing with that's the only other Stephen King time. Like, I thought the book for Dolores Claiborne was boring as shit. The movie I love.
Yeah,
love
it's a good movie.
Disturbing, but good.
Yes.
Misery.
Some hot chocolate.
Misery is one of the best adaptations of a Stephen King book ever made.
Oh, God.
And she so deserved that Oscar. That's a great movie.
Kathy Bates.
James Caan, Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates is also in Dolores Claiborne.
That was the ultimate movie of the scenario of what would I do in that situation, you know? Where everybody was like, well, I would do
get hobbled for sure. Jeez. All right, moving to 1982 was the featurette Creepshow. King actually appears in it. He plays the doofus dirt farmer who finds a meteor.
It's a goofy movie.
I know it is.
It'll still freak you out anyway, though.
I was watching scenes from it while I was putting this together, and that when he finds the meteor and he starts daydreaming about getting rich, $200, not a cent less. And then it cracks open because he pours water on it, and you lunkhead. Then he touches the stuff inside, and he goes, meteor shit.
Yeah.
But that was, to me, that one in the roach scene, you know, the where the guy doesn't, you know, he wants everything to be clean and all the roaches.
Oh, but yeah.
The grass growing all over his body, and that creeped me out.
Me too. Seeing you thought about what was going on with his ass.
Well, it reminded me, because when I was a kid, my
space grass.
My great-grandpa, he used to scare us all the time, because he told us that there was a monster that lived in their cellar where they kept their canned goods, named Moss Creek Sam.
Oh, Jesus.
So he would
always,
real nice.
Yeah, so that's how he'd always tell us if we didn't do what we were supposed to. Moss Creek Sam's going to get y'all. Get your ass in this house.
Get your ass in this house.
Moss Creek Sam will get you.
My favorite thing from Creepshow is the Ted Danson Leslie Nielsen thing.
Oh, come on. Of course.
Yeah.
They come back as water zombies.
Yeah.
That was such a great...
That used to be on HBO every day.
Yeah, I know. I saw that a lot.
Now we're going to talk about 1983s.
You're not allowed to bring up Creepshow 2, Steph. Sorry.
We will, yeah. Oh. All right, Creepshow 2. I don't like it.
You're a son of a bitch. I don't know why you don't like Creepshow 2.
I forget the vignettes.
You don't like anal.
Well, I know why I don't like it.
Well, to me, it's the same thing.
Well, I don't want to have a prolapsed anus. And
that's how I felt watching Creepshow 2. My anus just went...
I don't even remember.
And I got the windsock.
You got George Kennedy in the first thing. You got, you know, Chief Woodenhead.
Mm.
Yatahe Chief Woodenhead.
Yes.
So there was that one. I like that story. But my favorite, of course, the end was the Thanks for the Ride lady. Love that one.
All right. How about am I thinking of Twilight Zone?
Yeah, Twilight Zone. I always get mixed up.
The that's Creepshow. Hal Holbrook and Adrian Barbeau. And Hal Holbrook works as a janitor. No, he's a professor. And he finds this monster in a box under the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
And it eats the guy's face. And then he brings his wife there to get rid of her because she's a nag, and he pushes her in the box and throws it over.
See, that's good stuff.
It wasn't Creepshow 2.
No, it's Creepshow.
It's Creepshow 2, because the next story is the one where they're all on the Pancho, es Cisco, when they're on the freaking float, and the big black thing jumps on them and tears all their legs off and shit.
All right.
I like Creepshow 2.
All right, so let's move on to 1983 and The Dead Zone, which is a fantastic movie. That is Christopher Walken, yeah. Martin Sheen, Brooke Adams, Tom Skerritt.
It's the one movie I can't talk about.
You've never seen it?
I definitely saw it. I just totally do not remember.
I saw it at the drive-in when I was a kid.
I saw it in the theater when I was a kid, too. I love the book, too. Mm-hmm. The book's great.
I saw it laying on top of the station wagon. Aww. Like 11 o'clock. It was the second feature.
Yeah. It was right around the same time I watched Videodrome or something.
Videodrome's creepy when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch it now, and it's like, oh, Debbie Harry's naked. But The Dead Zone... Fantastic story, just very sad, and then he's in love with Brooke Adams, he gets in the car wreck, blah, 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 blah. Watch it if you've never seen it. Stand By Me, 1986.
I mean,
probably the best
classic.
Non-scary Stephen King story ever written, directed by Rob Reiner.
Yeah, everybody loved this.
Great cast. You had River Phoenix as Chris Chambers, Will Wheaton as Gordy LaChance, Corey Feldman as Teddy Duchamp of the Duchamp brothers.
You guys want to see a dead body?
Jerry O'Connell when he was fat as Vern Tessio, and Kiefer Sutherland as Ace Merrill, the tough. And of course, Richard Dreyfuss narrating as a grown-up Gordy.
This was when my mental illness first started manifesting, was when this movie came out on VHS, because I, for that summer, I would go up every single day for like a solid month and re-rent this VHS cassette, like every day.
It's a great film.
I would ride my bike up and re-rent it. And then the guy would say, we have other movies. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I would watch it over and over and over. I knew every single word in it.
Leakage!
It was psychotic. It was psychotic. Well, but you, I was obsessed with River Phoenix, like, to the point of, you know, like, stalkery. Like,
what's
like,
that line?
Like,
is
sickness.
It, suck my fat one, you cheap dime store hood. Oh,
yeah. That was it. Yeah, that was it.
Ace Merrill.
I mean, we were all almost that age.
Yeah, we were.
You know, as the kids.
Yeah,
have card,
like,
will travel, read the card of
a man. Oh, wait.
Have gun, will travel, read the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land.
Leechland! His fetch goes for hire.
Then Will Wheaton is the one. Will Wheaton. He got the leech on his ding dong.
Oh, yeah. God. Everybody talked about that scene at school.
I know.
Gordy's out.
Oh, and John Cusack was his brother who died in the car wreck.
Yep.
Did we talk about that?
No. No, but you're right.
He was the perfect son.
Right.
Wrong kid died.
Wrong kid died. What did I see that guy in recently?
You're right.
Oh,
he's a guy in that
he
thing.
Was,
oh, in Feud.
Yeah,
he was Joan Crawford's brother. The wrong kid died. Saw my brother in Half Blues. Love that movie. We should talk about that sometime.
Do we, guys?
All right. Wrapping up the God-tier Stephen King films from the 1980s is The Running Man, which is very loosely based on King's Richard Bachman. Nom de plume? Is that right?
I guess,
I don't
know.
Pen name, Richard Bachman, with source material. Right. The Running Man, first of all, The Running
story?
Man was an African-American, and it wasn't as dystopic as this film. It
sounds racist.
No, it's not. I'm just telling you the character was a black guy.
I mean, they call him the Running Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
We're race fluid.
Is one of the top Arnold films as well. It's a blast from start to finish, according to me. Arnold, Maria Chiquita Alonso. Everybody does it. Yaphet Kotto. Watch your cigarettes around this guy, Jack.
Oh, right. Yaphet Kotto.
Yes, Yaphet Kotto.
What's that? It's an inside joke between me and Alonzo.
Yes. Alonzo Mosley.
Alonzo Mosley.
Oh, those $20 bills are fake. We're going to have to take these. Jesse Ventura, Richard Dawson. My God, he was great in that.
I know.
Jim Brown.
The original. He was the original pussy grabber.
He was. Hello, darling, let me give you a kiss. Mick Fleetwood and Dweezil Zappa.
Yes, I didn't know about that.
What, you didn't know they were in that?
No.
You remember when they get out and they have to get those things taken off their neck?
Yeah. And the one guy goes running.
The old man is like, you stole my songs and you banned everything. That's Mick Fleetwood. And Dweezil is his little buddy. And I was all excited because Dweezil put that album out and he had, you know, in the mid 80s, toward late 80s, and he had that green guitar. And
God, such garbage.
So, all right, moving on to the okay. Now I'm going to have to revise myself because I was watching some scenes from Christine.
I love Christine.
Now I put down okay. It's better than okay. It's a fun movie. Not as good as the book. You got Keith Gordon.
I loved it.
The nerdy guy from that film and also Back to School.
Back to School. Mm-hmm.
John Stockwell, who was in a bunch of 80s movies. He was he was that guy.
He was in whenever we did our titty special.
Yes.
He was in my Losing It movie.
Yes, yes. Kelly Preston, Harry Dean Stanton, and Robert Shitter Blossom. Now, you know who Robert Blossom is.
And the Virgin Connie Swale.
She's in that?
Yeah, she plays...
you're right.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of her
plays
name.
What? She plays what?
What's-his-face's girlfriend.
Yeah, the Virgin Connie
Swale. The one that the car tries to kill.
Yes.
Tries to choke her.
But
the blonde?
The brunette.
You guys know who Robert Blossom is, right?
No.
He's the guy who sells him the car, but he's old man
the
from Home
jacket.
Alone. You can say
right.
hi to me.
Oh,
you don't have to be afraid of me.
Yeah.
Come save up, buy me a condo.
There's a good documentary... by a YouTube documentary by this guy. He has a channel called No Small Parts. I would check it out.
Yeah.
He's a very interesting man, Robert Blossom.
No Small Parts.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that.
It was one of my picks last year. And there's a really good one with Crispin Glover as well.
Oh, that's whenever we were talking about like that guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cujo, 1983. I didn't like Cujo. D. Wallace Stone from E.T.
There was more hype about Cujo than...
There was.
You know what I mean?
But I never liked it.
Everybody was going nuts about it, I remember, at the time.
Yeah, like, it was all that.
You know, so scary. And I watched it, and I was like,
It's a possessed dog. Blow me.
He's got rabies.
Yeah, but he is also possessed.
Was he possessed? Mm-hmm. I just thought he had rabies.
No, he's possessed.
One thing I do like about Cujo is it is one of those original movies where it was like the whole movie was contained in a space.
Yeah.
Like a smaller space.
And
you know, if you can have a lot of drama and a lot of stuff going on, contained in such a small space.
I like my Dee Wallace as a werewolf, and that's it.
I do, too. And she's the news lady, and she changes into the werewolf.
Well,
nothing is as good as the ending of The Howling,
I know.
Sybil Danning's tits.
Wolf boobs.
Wolf boobs. All right, 1984, Firestarter. Forgettable.
Yeah, I was never really into Firestarter.
Drew, I liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I did too, but I try watching it now. Drew Barrymore, David Keith was Bloody Nose, Heather Locklear, Art Carney, Louise Nurse Ratchet Fletcher, Martin Sheen again, and Art Carney.
You guys better get out of here. Yeah, you guys better leave right now.
Side note, I just did a bit for B98.5's morning show, and they had me do character voices, and Drew Barrymore was one of the voices. So I just talk like that. And the girl got it. So
it could almost be Crispin Glover.
Yeah. You do. I like. Do it again. Do it again. Make me happy.
What did I say? Now, Biff.
Yeah. Well, you did it better than that.
I know. Really good.
Now you put him on the spot.
Now, Biff.
Get your damn hands off her. Nah, I can't do it now.
Get your damn hands off her. Make like a tree and eat.
I can't do that.
Silver Bullet, 1985. I got to move
on. I don't know
up.
Silver Bullet.
I love Silver Bullet.
I do too. Corey Haim, rest in peace. Gary Busey.
The Buse.
Before his accident. And then you had Everett McGill. Do you guys know who that is?
No.
The preacher?
Yeah, he was the preacher who was the werewolf. But did you ever see Heartbreak Ridge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Clint Eastwood movie where he's a gunny
Mario
sergeant.
Mario Van Peebles.
Right.
Yeah.
Everett McGill is the lieutenant who's not yet had the pleasure of serving in armed combat.
Yes.
And then Clint Eastwood beats the shit out of him at the end of the movie. Oh, no, at the end of the movie, they're in Grenada. So anyway. Terry O'Quinn is also in Silver Bullet, and you know him from Lost.
Yes.
And also a great cult movie from the late
80s.
Stepfather. What a fucking crazy, creepy-ass movie. Pamela Barnes.
I remember when he was in Lost, I was like, what has this guy been doing
the
between
stepfather.
Then and now?
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of shit, but you're right. The first thing I think of when I see Terry O'Quinn now is Lost, but before that it was, oh, it's the Stepfather.
The Silver Bullet, man, because my niece, she's 13 now, and I think it was 3 years ago when she was 10.
Yeah.
She had never seen it. So me and her and my brother, we all sat down and watched it together. And it held up. She still likes it. She's a horror movie junkie.
I love that film because
she really liked it.
Busey's his uncle, and then he has an older sister. But he's Corey Haim's uncle. And he builds him that hot rod so he can get around because he's crippled.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's handicapped.
But yeah.
I'm sorry. He's disabled. what are you supposed to say?
He's Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
then we get it.
Yeah.
You say Corey Haim, we all got it.
So, yeah, Gary, it's just a great turn by Gary Busey. Great turn.
It was before the motorcycle accident.
It was. And what a great film. There's a woman in that who dies. The blonde, does she hang herself or?
After her kid gets torn to pieces?
Yeah.
I think so.
She lives in Atlanta, that woman. Her name is Wendy Walker.
Oh, really?
Or if she's still alive. I met her one time at a store.
But did you ever find it crazy that they, you know, that the Buse gave Corey Haim, who was like, 11 in this movie? Was he like 11?
He was more like 13-year-old.
But the motorcycle went like 100 miles an hour.
It was a four-wheeler.
Whatever the fuck it
was. Yeah, I know. It was fast. Well, you had to get run away from werewolves. let's see. The last one I have on the okay list is Pet Sematary. Really not a good movie.
I despise you for this.
Why?
I despise you.
You tell me why it's such a great movie.
This is one of my favorite. This is one of my, not only is it one of my favorite Stephen King's, but this is like one of my favorite 80s movies,
okay.
80s horror movies. Okay. I don't understand.
Freaked me out.
I love this movie.
I'm judging it based on its value as a film.
What are you talking about?
Denise Crosby, Fred Gwynn, and a guy named Dale Midkiff, who I haven't seen in anything other than that.
Bullshit. You don't remember Wolf? Whenever it was on Fox? Remember that show? Like when Fox was in its infancy and
no.
It had like 5 shows.
No, never watched it.
Anyway, he was on
we
there.
We didn't have it in my town.
Oh, really?
No.
Are you calling the wolf?
I didn't see Married
didn't
with Children until 1989. First time I saw Married with Children was at my uncle's house in Harrisburg, PA. Someone checked the show out. Everybody says it's great. And I loved it.
Oh.
Simpsons wasn't even on yet.
Wow.
Pet Sematary is great. It's quotable. Fred Gwynn is the reason why I like it so much.
Yes, Zelda. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Gage. Is that you playing?
I want to play with you.
Gage.
It's just such a creepy, and then like the flashbacks
of the. You want to come over here? I found a dead cat in my yard.
Spinal meningitis girl
Zelda.
Yeah.
And when they buried, and when they have the flashbacks, when they buried the kid back mm-hmm. in the day, and when he came back and he was all fucked up, and
right.
he burned the house down.
You gotta read that
creepy shit.
That story.
And the parents. And then at the funeral, whenever yes. they got into the fight, and then they tore the damn coffin down, and the kid goes rolling out into the floor and
all
shit.
Right.
I mean, it was fucking, it was a crazy ass movie.
It's Maybe
dark,
I need to watch
though.
It again.
I mean,
it holds up, Tim. And the fact that he keeps getting haunted by that runner.
Yes.
With half his head
yes,
ripped
the
off.
One he hit, right?
It, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of creepy shit in that movie.
All right.
That is
right.
one thing about Stephen King, you know, well,
weren't they the Micmac Indians?
I think so. It was something
there's
like that.
There's always a lot going on. There's always a lot of side stories. You
there
know
are
I mean?
In his novels, and they don't translate to
But sometimes
films
they are,
well.
Like Pet Sematary. There's yeah. all those little things going on.
And Pet Sematary 2, horrible. Yes,
never
I
saw
agree.
It.
Agreed.
Never saw
it's
it.
Awful.
Yeah, I never
it's
saw
awful.
That.
There's no point in it. There wasn't a book.
It was absolutely
It's like
stupid.
Return to Salem's Lot. You know they made that movie.
Awful.
It was a comedy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus God.
Yeah, they were eating. They had a farm, and the vampires would suck the blood out of cows instead of eating people.
Jesus Lord!
But Salem's Lot,
first one,
TV movie, creepy as fuck. Great
shut
book
my
too.
Curtains every night.
That book scared me more than any book I've ever read
I
in my life.
I always think that we're gonna be outside hanging out.
Or the kids scratching on.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, but that's the '70s. All right, now we get to the shit level, which I call the eh, and I'm just gonna rattle them off, and then there's one I left off the list that Ira has to take me to task to. But Maximum Overdrive in 1986.
No, we can't just rattle this off. I loved Maximum Overdrive.
I loved
Children
it
of
too.
The Corn, 1984.
Oh, come
Malachi!
On.
Terrible movie.
It started off okay, but it was...
It didn't end
well, look,
up.
Maximum Overdrive was cool, man. AC/DC soundtrack.
The soundtrack's great.
I know.
It's over
who
the
made
top.
Who?
It's like an over
and it's,
the top
it's a caricature
movie,
man, but it's just kind of cool.
I think it's silly.
Isn't Emilio Estevez in
yes.
the movie?
Yeah.
yeah, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
It
yeah.
is. But come on, that truck that has like the...
The Green Goblin.
The Green Goblin. That's yeah. cool shit, man.
All right, and I do have to... I'm just going to... Okay, you're right. Cat's Eye. I should have left yes. on the list because it has that great James Woods...
Yeah, the nose...
The smoking thing with
Alan King.
Alan
yes,
King,
yes,
yeah.
that is great. I forgot about
and
that.
Who was your leader, Gilbert? Alan King!
Look, those... What is it, three stories in that one?
Yeah, there's a couple.
One of them's horrible.
Richard Hatch, or Robert... The guy from Airplanes in one, where he's a tennis pro. And
Robert Stack?
No. I forget his name. Anyway, he's walking around. He has to walk around the building.
Yeah, oh yeah. The guy from Airplane.
And
oh,
the birds
right.
pecking on him.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that.
I know. I'm wrong about that. And Drew Barrymore is the center because her cat's the... It's,
right.
It's,
steals her breath.
All the stories are from that cat's perspective. Like, the cat will yeah. take you to the different stories.
Which, that's, you know, whatever. But, yeah, right. the story where he walks around the building and the quitting smoking yeah. story is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because if you do that again, we're going to bring your wife in here to jump around on that little screen.
What do you do? Cut my... What'll happen if I gain weight? Cut my thumb off?
Yeah, last scene.
Yes.
Oh, that was great.
That was very good.
Dun, 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 dun.
Cat's Eye.
It was very good.
So did I leave anything off the list?
No, I think you covered it well.
All right. You know what time it is, don't you?
Time for staff picks.
No, it's time for the Red Box Troll. Gosh, how are you guys? I haven't seen
Sir,
you forever.
So
oh
great
God.
To see you.
Oh, boy.
It has been ages.
You know what else? It's been ages since I've had a good orgasm. Nobody's been poking me with a pencil. I saw you guys sold T-shirts. Can I get any money from that?
Well, Ira's here. He's got his pencil sharpened.
Yeah, where's my
sharpened.
T-shirt?
Oh, it's Ira.
Oh, yeah. I brought these pencils from home. They're all
That's a pen. It's not a number two pencil. It's not sharp.
No, it's one of those adjustables. I thought
Go
that would
fuck
work.
Yourself with the adjustable pen. Mechanical pencils can suck a dick.
I got a number four here for you.
So like I do when I'm here, because Steph always helps with this.
Jeez.
I just stopped it. Yeah, I just stopped by there this weekend.
He's very moist tonight.
I'm super I'm lubed up in case somebody. I was you know what I was watching on my TV in the red box? I was watching American Gods because I got cable now. I got Stars. Oh my God, that one lady swallowed up Joel Murray with her vagina and he's just floating in there. And then in last night's episode, she just had swallowed people in her pussy all night long.
Do you want, I'm sure that you could probably...
what kind of pencils you fit in there?
That's what I was wondering. You could work out of there. You
I could probably.
Like
it's her red box. She's on her period.
I think it's a black box.
Why? African American? You're a racist. I know you're not. No. Redbox. So fluid. New releases at the Redbox this week. If you happen to find yourself at Kroger
or Publix,
which I do from time to time,
or Publix. Fine, I like Kroger
or CVS.
That's what I was wondering because I dropped by there the other day and yeah. I was looking through and I just didn't know and I saw that one movie, The Founder.
Yeah,
I was wondering what that might possibly be about. If you could. Give me.
Oh,
maybe.
Sure. I can tell you what The Founder's all about. So, first of all, it's a movie starring Batman. He plays Roy Clark, the founder of McDonald's and the hit syndicated TV show Hee Haw. And it shows you the dichotomy of his life as every Saturday he's picking at a grinning with. You know who he's picking at a grinning with, don't you? Buck Owens.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I thought it was.
Dang, get the dang, get the dang, get the dang, dang, get the gloom, despair, and agony on me. Dark depression.
That's graceful.
I know. But Batman plays Roy Clark, who started McDonald's and stole it from. You know what McDonald's was originally started by two brothers whose last name was McDonald's? And Roy.
When are they going to put red boxes in McDonald's?
Is his name Roy Cock? Roy Cock!
Clark.
It's not Clark? Oh, it's Clark.
It's a Boston Clark.
Anyway, Roy is a shake machine salesman. He goes in, sees it all working. It's all in a Dire Straits song called Boom Like That. And check that out. You don't need to see this movie.
No, I don't know about that.
Boom Like That. Actually, it's not Dire Straits. It's the lead singer guy. He had a solo album.
Nils Lofgren.
No, it's not Nils Lofgren.
No.
No.
You're talking about Marco. What's his name?
Oh, Mark Knopfler.
Yeah.
San Bernardino, ring-a-ding-ding. Milkshake mixers. That's my thing.
you're taking us back into the hole here. So, well, what about, let me ask you this about, well, what about La La Land? What the hell's that
La
about?
La La Land. Joseph Goebbels-Levitt and a bag of flour sing songs about growing up in Hollywood.
Joseph Goebbels-Levitt.
Isn't that his name?
Isn't that a Nazi? Isn't Joseph Goebbels?
Joseph Goebbels is, but I don't know about Joseph Goebbels-Levitt. I think it's ironic that he's named Joseph Goebbels. What's his name? Bruce Martin Johnson? And the bag of flour with red lipstick. They sing songs. Got all sorts of Oscars. Undeservedly so.
I think that was a girl. I think that was a woman.
She looks like a bag of flour.
She's just very. Yeah,
the complexion
a light
is a little
bit
translucent.
Yeah, she is very light. She has a light complexion. But
how's her acting?
Terrible.
you don't like her?
No. I don't like her because she's translucent.
Have you seen her in any movies that you like?
I saw her in one called Superbad.
Did you like her in that?
I think so.
Was she? You haven't seen her in anything else that you
like? My favorite part of Superbad was the cops.
What did you like about the cops?
They were funny.
What exactly are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what she said. What's the next movie? I gotta take a shit.
What about Lion?
Oh, that's a good one. A lion escapes from an Indian
zoo. Film, isn't it?
That's right. Traveling by train to find the man who killed his father. Along the way, he struggles with various poo-borne illnesses until he finally gives up and swims home to Africa, crossing the Indian Ocean, dodging sharks and Somali pirates. I'm the lion now.
Wow. That does not seem like that's what that movie's about. I do not think.
It's what was on the back of the box.
Why is there an Indian guy on the front of the box? Right.
Well, because it's a metaphor. Because he's in India and he's a lion and only tigers are in India.
But it's that guy from Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire was a good movie. It was about this dog that wins the lottery and becomes a millionaire. And then he treats all of his dog friends for exquisite Indian food. They poop everywhere. And they get shit right in the street. And they don't have toilets. We give them toilet paper, and they use it for a meal. What's your last movie, Stephanie?
Something called Passengers.
What about Passengers?
Passengers, a new horror movie featuring temper tantrum throwing Asian men who are constantly being dragged off planes into the pit of hell. For some reason, they get undisclosed millions. Rated R. All of them are.
Does it showcase the four people that did get off and did not get any money?
No, because those people are stupid.
Right. I don't feel like they're going to be showing this on in any United flights anytime soon.
I wouldn't if I was them. I was not doing that because it's stupid.
Sir, is it time for your break yet? Do you need a churro?
I feel like
you've earned seven pencils.
Oh, please. Stuff them in my poop chute.
All right, I destroy my voice.
Pencil hole.
Listen, I like to bring it down a little bit, and I'll just.
do Paul Stanley the rest of the time. Bring it down a little bit. Let's talk about it. I mean, there was a sadness in music lately, and I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to joke about it. This is some pretty serious shit that happened.
Well, it's serious shit, but it's also pretty amazing, you know? I mean, you guys are familiar with this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about Colonel Bruce Hampton.
One of the first jam band guys, legend in the music industry, at least that genre of it, yeah.
So if you didn't know, but everybody probably does, so he was having his 70th birthday celebration at the Fox last Monday. And, I mean, he's been a mentor to a zillion musicians, you know, including guys from the Allman Brothers, mm-hmm. Blues Traveler, and, you know, that whole southern kind of Atlanta roundabout scene, Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi and everything. So, of course, everybody came in. I mean, how many musicians? It was like 70 musicians.
Stage was packed.
Came in to play this show at the Fox for him, to honor him. He played the whole night. And then he passed out on stage, read it. During the encore and died 3 hours later. So this is the first time you've heard the story, you're like, oh my God. But we've been kind of reading about it all week, and it's just pretty crazy. I mean, he's the only guy, one of the only guys who's ever been able to really play his own memorial concert.
No doubt.
Which is great, actually, when you think about it. I mean, it's too bad. He's one of those guys that's been around town that you always thought would just kind of be around.
Yeah, you can't think of a better way to go, though, for somebody in their passion. And
he should have lived another, you know.
He should have lived another 10 years.
At least 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's been around town. I've seen him at Northside Tavern. He's been playing there. He was playing every week at the Vista Room in Decatur. But he played some big stages through the years. And, you know, just a quick story. I saw him when I was in college in Baltimore. That first album came out. I saw him at a little club, and I got to meet him after the show. And I was contemplating moving to Atlanta from Baltimore, and I just asked him. I got to meet him, a real humble guy, real cool. And I said, yeah, I'm thinking about moving down there. And he goes, well, are you a musician? I said, yeah, a little bit. And he, a little bit.
And he goes, well, a little bit.
He talked very warmly about the music scene in town, and he just said, listen, everybody down in Atlanta, the music scene's really tight. Everybody's really cool with each other. There's not a lot of ego. There's not a lot of competition. And everybody kind of supports each other. And he was spot on, you know. And I moved down here, and I did see him a few times throughout the years and get to talk to him and see him. So anyway.
Awesome.
Good guy. And then, I was going to include one of the albums in my staff picks. I'll do that later.
Okay.
Well, that's...
thank you, Ira.
R.I.P. to him, and best wishes to, you know, his family and stuff.
But I mean, it's almost like nobody's really. People are sad that he's not around, but everybody's just kind of like, "Wow, what a way to go!" Mm-hmm. He apparently said, "I'm going to go on stage."
Well, like you said, years ago, he should have lived another 10 years. But should he have? Because who knows what the next 10 years hold?
Yeah, could have been misery.
But
yeah.
He's also kind of like an Andy Kaufman type. Like he's very into performance art and wacky stuff. And people were thinking, you know, he might have planned this somehow.
Oh, like he faked it?
Not faked it, but knew he was...
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how you know
you're gonna die. I mean, that's too far out there, I know, but...
Yeah.
And that's why nobody did anything when he collapsed on
stage.
Well,
yeah, they thought he was kidding. Because he's done that before on stage.
He would do stuff like that on stage.
Wow.
As a joke.
So, yeah, like John Popper was up there playing right in front of him. And, well, anyway.
This will make for a great biopic.
Yes, it will.
Oh, yeah.
What's a biopic?
Story
like
about his life.
Optics.
You know, a movie about his life.
Oh, okay.
I mean, don't you think?
Yeah. I always heard it called biopic, but...
Fuck you.
That's what I was looking for. I wanted you to snap at me.
Language.
Yes.
Language.
Don't get mad. You know,
I'm not mad.
I tried to...
That was my pleasant one.
Yes.
That was a thank you for showing me the ways of speaking correctly. I appreciate that. Dick.
Let's do staff picks now, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start with Jeff because this is Jeff Garland's Netflix movie, Handsome. So apparently, Netflix has bought the option for Jeff Garland's new movie. It doesn't say in the article when it's coming out. Huh. So there you go. My pick is also Netflix, and it comes out tomorrow. Well, it comes out Tuesday, May 9th, and that is Norm Macdonald's new comedy special, which is called, entitled, Hitler's Dog, Gossip, and Trickery. And from the teaser, it looks pretty funny. So I'll be watching. That's one of the few I'll be watching immediately.
Yeah, sure. It's
Norm. It looks very, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm titillated.
We're all big fans of Norm here on this podcast, aren't we?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm crazy about Norm.
And my second thing real quick is I don't know when this happened because I didn't look at the dates, but apparently some of the cast members from the Godfather movies got together with Francis Ford Coppola and did a round table. It's the 40th anniversary. Yeah, 40th anniversary.
Yeah, I read about that.
Or 45th anniversary. Mm-hmm. 45th anniversary. So I watched a bunch of that. It's on YouTube. I don't know if it's supposed to be watched on YouTube, but that's where I watched it, and it was very enjoyable.
Was it good?
Yeah. 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 They did it at Cannes, or one of those, Sundance. I don't know. I'm sounding like an idiot, so I'm going to shut up. But it's good. It's enjoyable. Okay. And I feel bad because I think Robert Duvall has something neurological with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because they show him, and you can see him. He's fidgeting with his hands, and then he keeps interrupting and stuff. And,
well, how old is he now?
He's 80-something, right?
Yeah, 80-something, yeah.
He's getting up there.
And the last thing he did was that that thing with Downey Jr., right?
Yeah.
The judge?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
And De Niro, he's just, yeah, he's in there. Yeah. Yeah. James
Caan. Bobby, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. James Caan, Talia Shire, Diane Keaton.
Talia Shire. That's
mm-hmm.
It kills me.
You!
It kills me every time when I think of that's Jason Schwartzman's mother.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yo, Adrian, I always forget about that. You've done that. Yeah, no shit. All right.
Good for him.
Yes. So, Stephanie, what's yours?
My pick is season 2 of Master of None.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on Netflix next Friday, which I really liked the first season. I don't know if you're an Aziz Ansari fan, which I am.
I think his stand-up's good.
You didn't watch the show?
No.
I really liked the show a lot. And Eric Wareheim, if you were a Tim and Eric fan, Eric Wareheim plays one of his best friends. And
I like Eric Wareheim. I think he's way funnier than Tim Heidecker.
I would not say that. I'd say they're funny in their own unique ways.
Have you watched that Decker show?
Decker's crazy, but Tim Heidecker in season 4 of Eastbound and Down as the cuckolded or whatever the hell, the put-upon husband, he is fucking hysterical in season 4. You've seen season 4.
No.
God, I
just like the name Heidecker.
Then how dare you run off at your mouth like you know what the fuck you're talking about?
I'm just, because I don't like him on Twitter.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Oh, see, that's a thing.
That's bullshit. I don't care about that. There's a lot of people I hate on Twitter. But anyway.
I hate most people on Twitter.
But anyway, Eric Wareheim, you know, he's quirky, he's weird, and he's just as quirky and weird as Aziz's friends. The whole ensemble cast. The only thing I didn't like about season 1 was the love interest, his love interest. And I also don't like watching Aziz Ansari have sex because it just is weird. It's
okay.
Gross to me. It's very gross to me. I don't like it.
All right.
But they got rid of her. She's not in season 2.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to it. And season 2 is, like they say, it's very cinematic. And he's in Italy. And it's supposed to be really cool looking. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
It won't be cinematic.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, Master of None Season 2. And also, there's a podcast I started listening to that I think a lot of people would like if you love movies and stuff like that. I think it's been going on for like a year and a half now. I'm not going to say it.
Say the name of the show.
It's called Medium Popcorn, okay? Oh, and it's on iTunes, and it's on like every single whatever. But it's these two comedian, actor dudes, Justin Brown and Brandon Collins, and it's called Medium Popcorn. I'm not going to read the rest of it.
Oh, it has a parenthetical name?
Stop.
N-words spoiling movies.
Hey, we didn't name it.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's what it's called. Anyway, but they're great. Like, they do brand new movies. Like, last week they were at the Tribeca Film Festival, and they'll do brand new movies and spoil the shit out of them. They tell you every single thing that happens in the movie.
I'd like that.
Yeah, it's great. And they did, like, a shitty movie last week. What is it, The Circle, or whatever the hell it is, that new Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah, it looks awful.
Oh, yeah. Then they hated it. They're like, normally they'll give you a small popcorn, medium popcorn, or large popcorn. They gave this two piles of dog shit. That's how bad it was.
That bad.
And what I love about them is that they're like us. They have the same taste the movies that we do. They don't, but they're not too lowbrow and they're not too highbrow. They describe things the way that we describe things. It's not like, let me talk about something like it's so, you know.
Right.
But anyway, so if you like,
I'll check it out. I've been looking for like a good comparable podcast.
Yeah, and they do old movies too. And when I like listening to them do I listen to the Conjuring episode on the way over here and I love that. And
do they like that movie?
They did, yes.
Okay, because I love that movie.
They did the whole Blade trilogy.
Now that you were telling me about before the show, I want to hear that.
That was a lot of fun, and they tell you all kinds of little fun facts and shit like that. So yeah, Medium Popcorn, and that's on iTunes.
N-words, spoiling movie.
Yes.
It's right there in the title. Yeah. What?
I just said it real fast.
Yeah, no, you didn't. Ira.
We got to stop recommending podcasts because it's bringing our listening numbers down.
No, anyway, it's good.
It'd be a companion. No, you'd listen to this and then you'd listen to that.
Sure.
We should all support each other.
Yeah.
Mine's a podcast.
Good.
Called Retronauts Podcast. It's about classic video games. These guys really know their S. I'm not cursing.
Oh,
they know their S.
God. I feel like I'm at church.
I haven't listened. I mean, these guys are even too...
Do you talk about movies and TV?
The one I would actually attend.
The Church of the Poison Man.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I don't know. It's a new podcast that's on Podcast One. They've been advertising it on Corolla and some other. But these guys are good. They're pretty in depth, and there's a lot out there. So if you're, you know, fans of all the Nintendo stuff and the Sega stuff, and sometimes I like. I'm not a huge gamer, but there was. Games that I liked that I got way into that I always like to hear the backstories.
Yeah. Of,
like Yara's Revenge?
Right. Of some of these games. And I don't know. There's like in the 80s and early 90s and stuff, some of the stories you hear about the competition that there was between all the programmers and all the different systems and the companies, I think that's real interesting stuff. And they get into all that. So I've listened to a few of them. Incidentally, the latest of theirs is kind of like a crossover podcast because they had these guys on from a Simpsons podcast and they talked about one of the Simpsons Nintendo games and how bad it was and they made fun of it and it was pretty funny. So that's called Retronauts. Check that out. And then just real quickly, as we were talking about Colonel Bruce, if you've never heard the original Colonel Bruce Hampton and the Aquarium Rescue Unit album, the first album was a live album. And it features Jimmy Herring on guitar and Oteil Burbridge, and those guys are in Allman Brothers and The Dead. And there you go.
Keep going.
Mario. That album was a game changer for me. It came out in 91, but I probably got it in 92, and that's when I saw those guys. I mean, I was listening to that before I got into Fish and, you know, the jam bands and all that stuff.
Which you're not into anymore.
I am. I just wouldn't go see that stuff as often as I
hear you.
And listen to it as often as I would. But... that album's ridiculous. The musicianship will blow your mind. And it's got just such a great mix of different genres. It's essentially, I wouldn't call it a jam band album. It's kind of like half, part blues, part jazz, part bluegrass or something, but all mixed together. But it's pretty amazing. So,
awesome.
It's on iTunes. I went and bought it this week after he died. So.
Real quick before we cut
do
out.
Do that.
And I saw Guardians 2 yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was pretty good.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, definitely.
This ain't Netflix. How many stars? What size popcorn?
This is what I've heard.
I'd give it a large popcorn, cool. For sure. Let's steal their rating system, sure. I would give it a large popcorn, for sure.
How many radios? Well, we did have a rating system. I forget what we came up with. We never used it again.
Will we give it
how
five,
many wavelengths?
Will we give it five radios?
Yeah, five
one
radios.
One to five radios?
Yeah.
I would give it four. I would give it 4 and a quarter radios.
Okay.
Let's go Star Search rules.
I like that.
I'll give it 4 and a quarter radios. I don't feel like it was as good as the first one for me.
Okay.
But it does tug on your heartstrings.
I've heard that it's not as good as the first one.
I didn't think it was. But it makes you, you'll tear up a little bit there towards the end. James Gunn gets you with the Rooker and everything.
How's the soundtrack?
Soundtrack's great.
Good.
Yeah.
It's great. He's got some
Michael Rooker in this fucking movie.
He's got some deep cuts.
Good.
Definitely some deep tracks in there I hadn't heard in a while. But I just want to ask you guys, I saw this at a stupid dine-in theater. They need to explode all of these theaters. They're horrible.
I don't like them.
They're
awful. You have waitresses walking in front of you, people talking.
Fuck yes.
And fuck that shit.
This bitch beside of me, she gets a salad. Who eats a salad with a knife and a fork? She's over there cleaning.
And the food isn't that good anyway.
Salad. No.
It's like shitty bar food.
Yes,
well, and then
there's
always a light on right above me, and it gives me a freaking headache. I'm trying to watch a movie.
And how are you going to – who's ordering fish? You're ordering fucking fish in a theater? You son of a bitch. Why would they even put that on the menu? It's a nightmare.
All right. Well, you know what? I boycott those theaters.
I boycott them. I'll never go to another one.
I used to go to the one in Sandy Springs where you could smoke. But
no.
I like that.
The LaFont?
No. It was one of those. It was like you could eat. They had beer. You could pitcher beer and you could eat.
Did you recreate Cape Fear?
Counselor. I thought about that movie last week when I was finishing so up good. Feud. I want to watch it again.
It's one of my favorites.
It's a great movie.
I just watched it again. It was like a month ago.
Scorsese did it, right?
Yeah.
Film noir.
Mm-hmm.
Film noir.
And you've seen the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great, too.
Robert Mitchum.
I like they made fun of Robert Mitchum on Family Guy. The out-of-shape strong man.
Let me tuck in my gut.
All right, guys. This has been a good show. Thank you. And Jeff, we'll see you next week. Fucking Levi.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to say that this week.
Because Ira's not swearing.
Yeah, it's something. I don't know what.
All right. Well, you know, everybody, the whole gang, we want to thank you for listening. And until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.
Race to savings for your next project. When you shop at Menards, get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.